It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time to Ask Bob and Ask Andy, and that's brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. And guess what, guys? I mentioned this before. They are opening a retail outlet at the Nittany Mall called the Tailgate Corner. And you want to get there Friday night before home games for some free sampling of food, the wine. They have some great Penn State-style gifts. And also, you can get a chance if you go to the tailgateclub.com website. There's a button there. If you would like to tailgate with the guys at 409 Tailgate Club, that's the way to do it. I know, Kevin, you're going to be there and have a good time. We're going to have a couple drinks and something to eat together. All right. Are you gentlemen ready for the questions?
Fire away.
All right. The first one is going to come from Kevin from Labatt.
First, I have a quick housekeeping note. I want to give a shout-out to Ben and CJ in Landisville, loyal listeners of the show, that I got a text message that people, they are like, oh, I love that guy, and he's a friend of a friend. So, and also to the guy in England who mentioned me in the, you know, list of people, I want to give him a shirt. So if we could get that guy's address, I'm going to mail him one of these great Labatt Blue camp shirts because he's a loyal fan and I love having my name mentioned.
I was going to get on you for digressing here, but with that said, those shirts are phenomenal.
Aren't they great?
And if you get to our tailgate, you will see Jim sporting one of those. All right, let's get to the question,
Down
Kevin.
To business. Bob or Andy, questions to either of you. What did Buffalo do well that you think Pitt will see in game film and try to capitalize on slash replicate?
58 runs, 42 minutes of possession. It's they're going to look at they're going to look at what they do and how Buffalo's offensive line sort of made it hard for Penn State to slow them down, especially the first 2.5 quarters. The game got away from them, so they had to kind of change their plan. But I mean, with the quarterback situation at Pitt and you know the way they are, the way Pat Narduzzi coaches offensive football, they will look at every single running play and look at how Penn State defended it and what Buffalo did well to try and replicate it. But if Pitt has the ball for 42 minutes and runs the ball 58 times for 185 yards, they have a little bit more of a shot than you think.
So Pitt ran for over 300 yards in the first game in 2016, still almost lost, probably – Penn State had him on the ropes late.
They did.
The 2017 game, I think they kept the ball for about 40 minutes because they definitely tried to, I think, shorten the game.
Correct.
Because of Penn State's talent advantage. They still lost 33-14. Gesicki got loose twice early in the game. Saquon made that great catch down the middle in the third quarter. It was the passing
game. The die was cast.
The passing game for Penn State was too much. Last year, Penn State won the game 51-6. Pitt ran for 230 yards in the first half. Somehow they only had 6 points because they either turned the ball over, they went for it on 4th and 3 from like the 3-yard line. It was one of the dumbest calls I've ever seen. Amani Arawari had an interception, I think, in the red zone in the first half. Pitt just can't get out of their own way against Penn State. I agree with you, Ashe. They're going to try and run the ball, but I just don't know if they can score enough.
Right.
That's the issue.
That's what
ultimately, you got to be able to score touchdowns to beat Penn State. I don't think they can do it.
All right. Good question, Kevin. Let's move on. We have several questions about the offensive line, so I'm just going to pick the most succinct one. John from Hughesville. With the offensive line playing poorly again and all the 4- and 5-star recruits that have gone through the system, is it not time to look at the coaching?
Well, Ross was here.
Yeah.
He's not
a
Line Grover fan anymore.
They continue to rotate the guards. They continue to rotate the tackles. I'm sure that it's hurting some of the continuity. Watching them try and run the ball, I just wonder about maybe there is something to be said for patience and vision from the young running backs, and I don't know that necessarily that is getting synced up. There are times, though, when the other team is getting way too much penetration. I don't think the issue is Michael Mennett. I do think that this team will continue to get better in the running game, but it feels like they're just not on the same page. It's always something, whether it's the running backs, whether it's somebody on the edge missing a block, whether it's somebody coming free on a stunt. It's happening too frequently, but I would also say that you know, I don't know that the Idaho game did Penn State any favors as they try and develop a running game. I think this, they needed a little bit of this to happen so they can kind of go back to the drawing board. And I would like to think that Matt Langrover might have a better plan for Pittsburgh.
All right. Next up, Jeremy from Wilmington, Delaware. Who scares you more at this point, Maryland or Michigan?
Oh, Maryland by a mile. It's not even close. I watched Michigan and Army, and they might be lining up in the shotgun, but Josh Gattis is not pulling the trigger on that offense. I'm sorry, it's still Jim Harbaugh's offense. Just now, you know, Shea Patterson's in the shotgun. Josh Jackson, he looks good. He looks confident. Mike Locksley's got him in an offense that features him, but also he's got some sort of weapons around him that are emerging. And I know, you know, Howard's one thing, but when you hang a 63 and you've got like 50-something in early to mid-third quarter against Syracuse, who was previously nationally ranked, that's not an accident.
Okay. All right. Record that. He's more worried about Maryland than Michigan. Quick answer. How about you?
Well, I think another way of looking at that is if Maryland and Michigan played on a neutral field right now, what would happen? I think Andy is right. I think Maryland is a little bit more explosive than Michigan, and I would slightly lean towards the road game at Maryland right
now. Wow. All right. Next up, Alexis from Hoboken.
I love Hoboken. Oh is that a great city? Yeah. Oh, yeah. North Jersey, you got to go.
All right. And he addresses this, dear Ross and Jim.
Uh-oh.
Because PSU fans. For the past several years, I've listened to Bob explain why it makes no sense to play Pitt. Despite this, my friends and I are super pumped for this game. 2 years ago, the atmosphere for Pitt game was fantastic. I expect the same this year. Isn't this excitement and passion worth something? Isn't this what makes the college game so great? Thank you, Alexis.
Jim, don't bang the table.
I banged
the
table.
Come on.
That was for emphasis.
Okay. Though. Okay.
Who wants that question? Real quick.
Well, you talked about it at the start. You're obviously you've obviously found a kindred spirit, and I can certainly see that argument, especially for people who are a little bit more mature from the Penn State fan base. I think the younger fan base just doesn't really identify with Pittsburgh as a rival. I would say also that we've talked about 9 conference games, 8 conference games. We talked about the chase to try and get in the playoff. If Penn State beats a 7-5 Pittsburgh team, like what have they accomplished?
Jim, are you going to be excited for the Auburn game? You're going to be excited for the Auburn game in a few years?
Oh, yeah.
So you can't have both.
I wasn't excited about Idaho or Buffalo, though. All right. And by the way, Bob, did you just call me old?
I said mature.
I think you meant
I
old.
Said mature.
All right.
Roll the tape.
Let's move on to Lindsay and Butler. Love the show. Do you think John Patrician's knowledge of Penn State's defense plays any role in this game?
Absolutely none.
Hard no.
No. It's because Pat Narduzzi's coaching Pitt. Yeah, I said it.
His knowledge of the Penn State defense didn't help him while he was at Penn State.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so. We took a shot at Pat Narduzzi. Now we—it's
just
a
fact. Is it not a fact?
Yeah.
Yes, but perhaps the young man was injured, and hey, you can't.
James
help
said
the team
they had to change their signals.
The training room.
He came out and said that Bob's right. They had to change their signals for a reason. Message sent.
All right, let's move on to our buddy Steve in Arlington. Speaking of tailgating, Steve joined us at our tailgate for the Idaho game, and I believe he's going to be there for the Pitt game too. Look forward to seeing you, Steve. All right, Steve wants to know, how much attention does the coaching staff pay to complementary football? While the defense was out there for most of the first half, it seems the offense would have made more of an effort to establish the run and eat some of the time off the clock.
I think it's a fair question. I think there's a balance that Ricky Ronnie needs to strike between their offenses group, maybe trying to manage the series where you're kind of staying ahead of the change and making it third and more manageable. But with that said, when you have the athletes Penn State has, I think you got to take some shots. And also, The one thing I would say about the defense being on the field too long is they're deep enough now to I don't think it's as big of a deal if they're on the field a little bit longer because they're not playing their starters as long as they had to the last couple of years.
I want to say on that, I think Ricky had a plan that was sort of similar to the Idaho game for his offense for this one without sort of revealing too much or having to dip any further into the, you know, into what they have in their book. He wanted to kind of move the game along like they did against Idaho in terms of, you know, rotate the running backs, keep it kind of basic and simple. And it just didn't work. So at halftime, he had to, you know, throw a little bit more of the kitchen sink at them and turn the game over.
It helps when you get a pick six, too.
Yeah, a pick six did not hurt. Yeah.
Pick six always helps. All right, let's move on. Brian from Miami really goes off topic here. Hey, guys, I listen to all the shows every week. Great stuff. But I'm curious, who do you think among your group would have the fastest 40-yard dash out of everybody? Ross, Andy, Jim, Bob, Greg, or Dustin?
Pickle. He's the youngest.
Yeah, I'd put Ross and
Ross's knees, I don't think, are in great shape.
Yeah, Ross's knees aren't in great shape. I know Dustin's not fast.
Here's the only thing that makes me feel good about this question. As long as Dustin's around, I don't think I would finish last.
Dustin's...
He's the guy, though, that could take...
He was a wrestler, and...
He could take Ross in an eating contest, though.
Yes, that's a whole...
I've seen that. I've seen that up close. For a guy that's not quite... maybe as big as Ross, he definitely can put it away.
I'd put my money on you finishing last, Jim. I'd be comfortable.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think Dustin would beat you.
Well, remember, I'm the oldest one here, but...
Signs the paychecks, Andy. Signs the paychecks.
I'm just saying. Honesty and transparency.
I got to find the weak one to pick on. And right now, I still think that would be Dustin. All right. Let's move on. We've got David from Shippensburg. So with the consistency of touchbacks being so stout, you see what he did there?
Uh-huh. Jim pet peeve.
Should we practice kickoff coverage less and focus on other things?
No, you got to practice kickoff coverage maybe even a little bit more.
And I will say this, it's great. This is a great story now. When it gets to be 30 degrees out and there's a wind and you're on the road, eventually this kickoff coverage team is going to be tested. But right now, the first 8 weeks, I mean, and especially this week against Maurice French of Pittsburgh, he's been very much one of the five or six players that have really helped Penn State this year.
All right, look at the question, guys. Pick out your winner. I've handed the list over to you.
Of all the questions, I think the most valid question concerned Matt Langrover and the offensive line. That's kind of where I'm leaning.
So that would be John in Hughesville.
All right, there you go. John from Hughesville is our winner, and that is it for quarter number three. Stick around. We're going to do our Pitt preview.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.